Forgot to put in the bulletin the, what David mentioned earlier about our cookout this Saturday, September 22nd. So maybe want to put a note on your bulletin regarding that, and invite friends and family and anyone that could be with us on that day. Again, it's just a good time for us to get to know one another a little bit better and to share with one another and just have a good time this time of year. The weather's nice, and so we appreciate your participation in that. And also, as mentioned about Ms. Farmer being in NHC, getting treated for some anemia, she was disappointed that she didn't have any stationery or things with her to write a note. But she wanted me to specifically mention her and the fact that she's so thankful for all of your concern for her and the cards and visits and things that you've done for her over the last week or so. She said she just really thinks a lot of you, and wanted me to express that to you this morning. So I appreciate her and her faith, and thankful that she's doing a little bit better this week than she did last week. So I can continue to remember all those who we mentioned this morning who were ill and not able to be with us today. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our lesson. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for every good and perfect gift that you give us. We know that you're the source of all that we have, that you created everything. Everything that has been in the past, everything in the present, everything that we'll have in the future comes from you. We pray that all that we do in our lives, whether it's the thoughts that we have, the things that we say, the things that we do, we pray that we have the courage to do the right things in those areas. We know that Satan will always put something in front of us that is contrary to your will, something that seems pleasing to us but is ultimately harmful, something that ultimately will lead us away from you. So we pray that you will give us the courage we need to stand for what is right and always endeavor to do the right things. Continue to bless us here at Pleasant View as we strive to do your will. We know we fail many times, and we pray that you continue to forgive us. We're thankful for Jesus Christ and the life that he gave us on the cross and the blood that he shed that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and allows us to be able to receive heaven. We're thankful that you prepared a place for us there, and we've been found faithful. Bless our study this morning, and may all of our worship be pleasing to you and according to your will. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus was talking about his coming, his second coming. I believe he was talking about his second coming. There's some that say he's discussing something else, but he goes back and points to the Old Testament and describes a couple of situations where people thought that everything was fine. They thought their lives were okay. They didn't have any thought of punishment for doing the wrong thing. And he goes back and he mentions Noah. And we'll talk more about Noah this evening during our lesson time. But he goes back and talks about Noah, and he said these people were getting married and they were eating and drinking and doing all types of things while Noah was building the ark. And then when the door shut, the destruction came upon those people. And then Jesus mentioned, he goes on to talk about Sodom and that city, and along with Gomorrah and other cities on the plains around them that were destroyed again because these people were thinking everything was fine. They had no thought of a punishment that would come to them in terms of their general day-to-day thinking, their general activities. And then finally, of course, that fire and brimstone came upon all of those cities and destroyed them. And Jesus said the same would be true when he comes again. And Paul talked about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we know many other passages that talk about Jesus coming as a thief in the night. Thieves don't announce when they're coming. There's not a sign that they give and a math problem that if you can figure out a math problem or look at some ancient calendar, you can figure out when all these things are going to take place. He said in that same passage in Luke 17, Jesus said, if somebody tells you there's a sign of this, don't listen to them. If somebody says, look over there at this thing, he said, don't listen. He said, it'll come and it'll be sudden. There'll be many who are not ready. And in that passage in Luke 17, he made one comment that I want to focus on this morning and see if we can find some lessons from one statement he made. It's one of the shortest verses in the New Testament. And he simply said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife in verse 32 of Luke 17. He mentions Sodom, and then he just throws that in, remember Lot's wife. He doesn't go into any great detail about her story. He assumed people would know her story. He doesn't elaborate on that. He just simply says, remember Lot's wife. There's probably times in your life, things that happened 10 years ago, 20 years ago, things that happened when you were a child, when somebody, all they need to say, they come up to you, remember that boyfriend, remember that girlfriend, if they're trying to teach you about a better way to have a relationship, or if you're in school and they talk about, remember that test you took that you weren't ready for, they don't need to say anymore. You know the story, you know the details. That's a powerful reminder when they bring up something like that from the past. It's not to embarrass. Hopefully it's not to embarrass you, but simply to say, don't make that mistake again. Learn from that. And so that's what Jesus does in this passage. He's talking about his coming again and what happened with Noah and the people around that ark, what happened in Sodom. And he just says, remember Lot's wife. The word remember is used about 144 times in the Bible. We've discussed before that people don't need to be taught as much as they need to be reminded. Usually just teach somebody how to do something once. They figure it out, they learn how to do it, but you don't keep teaching and teaching. What do? You keep reminding people to do something. You just teach once, but you remind over and over and over again. Jesus said here, remember Lot's wife. Well, what is it about Lot's wife that we need to remember? What is her story? And you know the story, but I want us to read just a few verses back in Genesis chapter 19 related to the destruction of those cities and what she did. We know, of course, the wickedness that was in Sodom is a place that where Lot and his family had lived. We know the extreme wickedness, so we won't go into the details of what was going on there, but Abraham actually pleaded for this city, but to no avail. They were still to be destroyed. And it was told to this family that when you leave this city before its destruction, you don't look back. You don't look at what's going on, you just keep going forward. But we know in Genesis chapter 19, beginning in verse 24, then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back. She became a pillar of salt. As they're leaving, Lot's wife disobeys the command of God and looks back and she becomes a pillar of salt. And there's a lot of a discussion about that process. Did she just get maybe delayed too long and was staring and got consumed with all the debris and things that were going on? Was she behind him? We think right behind him. Maybe she was further behind him than we generally think. Maybe she was half a mile behind him or a mile and just simply got consumed with the material coming from the sky. And it just covered her. She became a pillar of salt. Was it something more miraculous? Was it the fact that God just simply struck her and she became that in an instant? Well, when I hear Jesus say, remember Lot's wife, I don't think he was really concerned so much with how she became a pillar of salt. What he was really discussing was, remember the warning. Remember what she did. Remember the consequence of her actions. And when the Lord comes again, don't be like her. You have been warned. You have been told how things are going to be when this world ends. So don't in that situation, when this world comes to an end or when your life comes to end, be like her. Don't do that. You have the example of Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. But I know that you've probably read the story before about what happened to Lot's wife, and you say, it's too harsh. Just to look back at, see what was going on, I'm sure it was quite a dramatic scene. I'm sure it was something she had never seen before. We like to look at things that we've never seen before. Why was she destroyed in the same way the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed? They died on that day, and so did she. Those wicked people died. And Lot's wife, out of that family, why would the same fate come to both? The big lesson of this, before we go further, the umbrella lesson that everything else is going to fit under this morning, is that God is serious about His commandments. We study that quite often when we study the Old Testament. The commands for us today are different. The settings for us today are different than the Old Testament. They lived under so many times a law that we don't live under. So the commands and even the punishment for things are different for us than it was for people in the Old Testament. But the principle is the same. They were given a commandment that they violated and were punished. And today, Jesus tells us, in our day, in the Christian age, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when I remember Lot's wife, I see the lesson of that God is serious about His commandments and what He wants from His people, both then and today. But let's look a little deeper. Let's look at Lot's wife and see if we can't learn a few more things from her situation and what she did. The first thing I think is obvious here that we need to remember, to think about, is the fact that she died although she was the wife of a righteous man. She was the wife of a righteous man. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In the New Testament, Peter wrote that Lot was a righteous man. We even know that in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, that Abraham was a righteous man. She has righteous people in her family. But even though she had a righteous husband, even though they had righteous people in her family, that was not enough to save her life that day. You've heard it's been said before that God has no grandchildren. That's true. God just has children. There is not some spiritual family tree in the sense of a physical family tree that we can get out of our wallet every now and then and say, somebody says, are you a Christian? And you get your wallet out and pull out a sheet of paper and it says, you say, well, yes, I am. And I'm right with God. I'm faithful to Him because see up here at the top of this tree, that's my great-great-grandfather. He was an elder in the church and he started several congregations in the area where I grew up, and he was a great man of faith. And so was my great-great-grandmother, his wife, and then their children, and then there was one here, and then but only one of the kids in this side of the family was faithful. And then you get down to me. So notice how many faithful people are in my family. That's what makes me a Christian. Now, I'm sure no one has literally done something like that, but there's a lot of people that think that. Well, I'm around Christian people all the time, and I believe in Christian things, Christian ethics, and people in my family are faithful, my dad's faithful, and so at judgment, I'll just stand close enough to them that maybe their faith will rub off on me, but God has no grandchildren. When Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, he didn't say, repent, be baptized, one person per family. Or just mom and dad in the family, you be baptized, and that'll just trickle down to everybody else. So, repent, be baptized, one member of each family. No, he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you. In the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. At judgment, we won't be asked, was your family faithful? We're just going to simply ask, are you faithful? Do you know me? Did you obey the gospel? It's that personal. So we see in the story of Lot's wife, somebody who perished even though her husband was a righteous man. We also see, and when we remember Lot's wife, the lessons we're supposed to learn, some things Jesus wanted those people to remember, we see that her past righteousness did not cover her current sin. That's lesson number two. Her past righteousness did not cover her current sin. Notice that the fire and brimstone is coming on these cities, and she is spared because of her righteousness. God has warned them. God has said, leave. I'm concerned with you. Go. And so she's spared because of her righteousness. But what did that have to do when she looked back on that city? What did any of that have to do with the fact that she disobeyed? It had nothing to do with it. Not at all. Her righteousness in her previous days, leading up to that last day, that righteousness did not give her a license to sin. Many people today think that former righteousness gives me a license to sin. They get out scales and they say, well, if I do enough good things this week or this day, then I can go over here and do some things God doesn't approve of. And if I can get those scales to be a little weightier for the good things, then I'm in a good relationship with God. Yes, we fail. Yes, we sin. And I'm thankful that we live in this Christian age of mercy and grace and forgiveness. But to deliberately, willfully disobey God is something that separates you from God. And you cannot look at other righteousness in your life and say, oh, well, that kind of covers it. Remember what Paul said to the Romans when they had this problem figuring this out. He said, shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? He said, may it never be, or God forbid, as he said, and I believe the King James. He said, no, you've misunderstood grace. It's not a license that you use so you can go sin and then get more grace. Her past righteousness did not cover her current sin. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Faithful until, not faithful when I'm in the right mood, faithful when I get a little bit older, faithful when I can get out of a certain relationship, faithful when whatever. Be faithful until death, not rely on past righteousness. Romans 8:1, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You need to always be in Christ Jesus and be faithful to Him. She perished although her husband was righteous, and her past righteousness did not cover her current sin. The last thing I want us to think about this morning is that she perished although her sin seemed small. She died although her sin seemed small. We've discussed this a little bit already. It seems small. It seems insignificant. We can't drive past a wreck on the road without staring, can we? You'd be on the interstate and a wreck be on the other side, opposite direction. You're going east. The wreck is on the west. There's nothing stopping you. There's no... The police aren't on your side. There's no signs, no flashing lights. Clear driving. But yet, you're in traffic. Why? Because everybody's looking to see what happened, how bad the accident was. So I don't suppose that Lot's wife, thousands of years ago, was any different than us in that regard. We have that tendency to want to look at things that are different, excuse me, or new, or amazing, whatever it is. But ultimately, her sin was not small in this sense. It was not small because she was not looking at Sodom the same way God was. That's why it wasn't small. I'm going to make it. God had a perspective on those cities. God looked at those cities with displeasure. God said these are cities that do not need to exist anymore. And if you are my people, you will have the same perspective on these cities as I do. That's what he was telling Lot's wife and his the whole family. This is not something to look at. This is not something to marvel at. This is not insignificant. This is not a trivial thing that's going on. This is the wrath of God coming down on cities. And I want you to have the same perspective on this that I do. God didn't just admire what was going on. God didn't want to consider those places anymore, and he didn't want his people to do it either. But she did. She looked, turned around to get one more look at sin. One more look at the result of sin. And she perished. She died for that. We will get caught doing the same things many times. We'll leave the world and come into the church, obey the gospel, become Christians, and yet turn around and look at the sin. Many times keep one foot, we say, one foot in the door of sin. Granted, she didn't run back and participate. It wasn't a matter of anything like that. But it was a matter of turning in a direction that God did not want her to turn. Turning toward a sinful thing. God said, I want you to walk toward me the way I tell you to go, and don't look back. In the New Testament, they summarize it with one word, repentance. That you leave a sinful lifestyle and you don't look back. That's why all Jesus had to say in Luke 17 was, remember Lot's wife. He didn't have to go into the whole story again and retell it, because he was talking about Judgment Day. And he said, remember when she what she did. Don't get caught in the same experience. Keep pressing toward me. You'll survive. Survive on that last day. You turn to the things of the world, you'll end up like her. You'll die on that last day for eternity. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, fit for the kingdom of God. Say again, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. When you start pressing forward in the direction of God, stay in that direction. You can't stay on course plowing a field looking over your shoulder. You will not plow a straight line. Those people knew that when Jesus said something like this. Having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom. Is there someone here this morning that needs to go toward the Lord and continue going toward the Lord throughout their life? But you've never done that. You've never started that. You've been with Christians and you've heard lessons and you've been in worship and Bible study, but you've never obeyed the gospel. The righteousness of your family is not enough. The good things you do in life or have done in the past make no difference. Because the story of salvation is not about the good things you do. The story of salvation is about your sin. So many people have that confused. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. Jesus didn't come to earth because of your goodness. He came because of your sins. And the Bible makes it clear that we're all guilty. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, your sins have not been washed away. So we encourage you in a moment to come forward in simple faith and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God, that you'll repent of your sins. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. If you've wandered away from Him, if you've looked back into the world, like Lot's wife did, and you say, I need to come back, I need to do better, I need to shift my focus and have a godly perspective on this world, we'll pray with you if that's what you need. Whatever it is, won't you come while we stand and sing?